Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Unity Renaissance on this glorious spring day. Ooh, boy, all those spring feelings are coming up, aren't they? It just makes you feel like new life, new possibilities. Just wonderful to be here together. And my goodness, we've had quite the weekend here as well. Friday night, we had our coffee house, a lot of great talent, a lot of laughter, a lot of fun. The most memorable cake decorating I've ever experienced in my life. You'll have to hear about that with Elizabeth Watson and Lisa Carter. And then yesterday, all the little angels, the beautiful souls who care so much, some of the beautiful souls who care so much about this church, came and helped beautify the inside and the outside. So maybe you feel that little extra energy of a fresh start today, thanks to their work, and thank you all who participated in all of that. So we're just happy to be together this morning, and if this is your first time here, hoping that as you come through those doors, as you take your seat, that you know you are welcome here and you are accepted and appreciated and loved for exactly who you are. We truly believe that. We truly believe in an inclusive, progressive Christianity that honors all paths to God, all names for God, all expressions of God. And we're blessed that you are here with us this morning. At Unity Renaissance, we hold the vision for, together, a spiritually awakened world, living in peace, love, and joy. And we do our part to help achieve that vision through our mission, which is, we transform lives that transform the world. And you know, I'm so blessed that every week I get to hear about lives transformed as a result of Unity principles and what we do here. So we really are living up to our mission and making a difference in the world. Let's begin our time together this morning in prayer. I invite you to close your eyes and get comfortable in your seat. And let's just take a deep breath in, appreciating the wonder of existence, the simple joy in being alive and here present. And on this Sunday, as we turn our attention to the art of prayer, I'd like to start our service with the invocation that Charles Fillmore so frequently spoke. So just take these words and these sentiments into your own heart. I am now in the presence of pure being and immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. I acknowledge thy presence and thy power, O blessed Spirit. In thy divine wisdom, now erase my mortal limitations. And from thy pure substance of love, bring into manifestation my world according to thy perfect law. We just send a special prayer of appreciation to Charles and Myrtle Fillmore this morning, the founders of Unity, and realize that even in that brief invocation, they were nudging us onward to stepping into the consciousness of God that is in us, and that truly this is where we find all the treasures of the kingdom. So we give thanks for this day together, for these many blessings, past, present, and future, and serve it all up for the glory of God. And so it is. Amen. Well, the man was walking along a California beach, deep in prayer. And finally he said out loud, God, please grant me one wish. And so, of course, the clouds parted and a big booming voice came down from the sky. And the voice said, well, because you have tried to be faithful to me in all ways, I will grant you one wish. So the man said, please, God, build a bridge to Hawaii so that I can go over there anytime I need to see all the beautiful sights and to alleviate the stress in my life. And God responded, well, that's really quite a request, and it's very materialistic. So have you thought about the logistics of this? I mean, even just acquiring the ports that you need to go down to the bottom of the Pacific Ocean and all the concrete and the steel that's needed, this is a really big deal. God says, I can do it, but I don't really feel justified doing this level of intervention for something that is really just about satisfying your worldly needs? So he says to the guy, why don't you just take a little bit more time and see if you might have another wish that's a little bit more befitting of my power to bless. So the man thought for a long time, and finally he said, God, I really wish I understood women. He said, I want to know what they're feeling. I want to know what they're thinking when they give me the silent treatment. I want to know why they cry. I want to know what it means when they say, oh, it's nothing. But most of all, he said to God, I want to know how to make a woman happy. And God thought for a long time, and then he said, do you want two lanes on that bridge or four? Says a lot, doesn't it? Well, it also reveals a certain concept of God, does it not? Obviously. And we begin to see that our concept of God is very closely related to how we pray. So in this particular story, it's the idea of the traditional God, a super being up in the sky, literally up in the sky. It's a male, speaks English, and decides whether to grant prayer requests based on how good or how faithful you've been. And so the man kind of follows the typical pattern of putting his prayer request out there and just kind of hoping for the best. Well, this is really sort of the traditional idea of prayer, is it not? I mean, we really don't quite know how it works. And more or less, when we pray, you know, we just bring all our love and our good intentions into that, and we pray with great sincerity and earnestness, and then we just kind of put it out there and hope this works. And we're really prepared for whether it does or it doesn't. It kind of looks like this. We pray. Must have struck a nerve there. So we pray, and then did it work? And if it did work, well, yes, praise the Lord. We might even say, look, prayer works. If it didn't work, well, God works in mysterious ways, right? And perhaps less constructively, we might say something like, well, maybe I didn't pray right. Maybe I didn't pray hard enough. Or worst of all, maybe I'm not worthy. So there is kind of a downside. And this more or less feels pretty capricious, does it not? You know, maybe you're going to hit it lucky today. I've heard it called like the spiritual slot machine. So we're used to this. This is really typically how prayer is thought of and how it's conducted. You know, 55% of Americans say that they pray every day. And I would just about bet you that most of them pray in this way, don't you think? Asking for really all sorts of things. And we do this ourselves, particularly when we're in a tough spot. We ask for just about everything you can possibly imagine. Like the Sunday school teacher who said to the little boy, Johnny, do you pray before eating? And Johnny said, no, I don't have to. My mom's a good cook. So we pray for all sorts of things, all over the spectrum. And when we think of God as this superpower that we're supposed to appeal to, it tends to evoke a certain kind of begging and beseeching and please kind of attitude towards God. Well, thankfully, there's another way of thinking about all this. There's another concept of God, and there's another way of praying. And this is really what we espouse more in unity. So we don't so much see God as a super being, or actually even a being at all, but beingness itself, right? God is the beingness of all that is. Everywhere present in us, through us, around us, most certainly in the energy in this room, and the energy that activates who we are. And so this changes the way we relate to God, and it changes the way we pray. So now our prayer does not become something that we send outward and upward to a higher authority, but rather our prayer becomes going within to that touchstone within us that is connected to the field of energy that is God everywhere present. And so it's not so much a matter of praying for something we don't have. We don't pray for something we don't have. We pray to rediscover something that we already are. Right? To go within and make that connection. I don't know about you, but this is a pretty radically different idea of prayer than what I held in my mind when I was growing up. I was pretty much like the typical child, so my evening prayers would be either, now I lay me down to sleep with that horrible scenario of dying before I wake, so I didn't really, you know, want to go there so much, so I pretty much stuck to God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless Terry, my sister, God bless Sam, my cat, God bless me, and all the world. Those sorts of things. And then later on, I heard the term pray without ceasing. And I got to tell you, that one really threw me. Because I thought, are we supposed to be on our knees like 24/7? Are we supposed to be talking to God all day long? I mean, when am I going to do my homework? When are we going to eat? It's just like it just didn't really fit for me to pray in that way without ceasing. Well, when Eric Butterworth in his book, Discover the Power Within You, talks about prayer, thankfully, he doesn't talk about being on your knees. And even speaking to God, although it's perfectly all right to do those things. But instead, he really emphasizes prayer as a shift in consciousness. Shifting your consciousness. And I love the way he says this. He says, prayer is about lifting consciousness, not God's, yours. Prayer is about lifting your thoughts up into a consciousness of the wholeness of life that is in you. Boy, can't you just feel that as you think about it? The wholeness of life that is in you. And that wholeness is God. It's a beautiful idea that prayer is about lifting of consciousness. And I even started playing with that a little bit this week, thinking, you know, we could even change our language a little bit. Instead of saying, would you pray for me? Would you help lift my consciousness? Or when you pray for someone else, you could say, I am holding you up in a higher consciousness. I am affirming for you a higher consciousness around this particular challenge. When we say we have a prayer request, we might say, instead of I need a prayer, I need a consciousness lift. Because that's really it, isn't it? I mean, that's really what we're seeking. We're seeking that shift. And how we see things, how we relate to others, how we relate to ourselves, how we relate to God. And truly, this is the very heart of what Jesus taught. His whole ministry was about shifting your consciousness. Remember how we've talked about how he tries to shake people up? Like, get rid of your blinders. Break out beyond the bounds of your fabrications of the ego and the stories you tell yourself and the way you divide things up and the way you feel unworthy and the way you think about other people as against you or different from you. Break out of it. Step into that bigger consciousness of the kingdom of God that is within you. That's what prayer is about. That's what our whole spiritual journey is about. And I know each and every one of you has had an experience of that level of consciousness. When whatever the problem or concern was, as you went into prayer or meditation, well, suddenly it just kind of dissolved, right? So Jesus pointed the way for us to get into this consciousness, and it was very simple. He said, go into your room and close the door. Now, I take that metaphorically to mean that we go apart and we tune out. All the stories, all the activity, all the busy thinking, all the whirlwind of our lives. We close the door to that. And we go within. go deeply within. And lo and behold, the answers come. The clarity comes. The peace comes. The love, the guidance, whatever it is we're seeking. And so Jesus was really emphasizing the importance, we might say, of the silence. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that you are God. Do you ever do that? Be still. What an incredibly powerful statement. Be still and know that you are God. The essence of you is God. That's how we shift our consciousness. You're not this little self moving through life. You're this spiritual being having a human experience. Something much grander. Something much greater. And when we latch on to that, everything begins to shift. Things that seemed impossible before now seem possible. And it's so fascinating because the word prayer actually links back to a Sanskrit word, pal-al. And the word pal-al means to see oneself as wondrously made. Isn't that beautiful? Ah, to see oneself as wondrously made. Could there be a more beautiful call to prayer than that? To simply turn within and see yourself as wondrously made. And then all these other things begin to go away or begin to be clearer in terms of what to do next. And you know, when we pray for someone else, we can behold them as wondrously made. We can see right through to that divinity in them, that beautiful light in them. You know, I know as I stand here today that there are those of you out there who are going through very hard times in your life. And certainly you all have people in your lives who are going through hard times. And a lot of times when we want to pray for people, if they're really hurting or suffering or feeling lost in their lives, we feel like, well, that doesn't really feel like enough to pray for them. Don't ever underestimate the power of your prayer consciousness. When you pray, you bring yourself into alignment with an energy field. It raises your vibration, and it emanates out from you. It emanates out, and it affects other people. And they feel that, and it's a catalyst for their consciousness to shift. And I believe that we all create this sacred energy field as we become rightly aligned with the divine in us. And I believe that field goes great distances. You know, science has looked into this, the unified field theory, everything's connected. And surely you've had experiences in your life when somebody on the other side of the country felt you thinking of them or called at the exact time you were thinking of them. Energy goes across great distances. And truly, the prayer energy is such a blessing to anyone who experiences it. If you've ever been with a spiritual teacher, a great spiritual teacher, a spiritual master, when you get in their presence, you feel that energy, do you not? It's almost like, you know, you don't need to say anything, you don't need to do anything, just let me feel that energy. I bet that's how people felt around Jesus, don't you? Well, sure, they wanted to hear what he had to say, they wanted to see him, they wanted to see what he did, but more than anything, they just wanted to be awash in that beautiful energy. A beautiful, sacred, prayerful, aligned consciousness. You know, people often ask, is there a right way to pray or a wrong way to pray? We do a lot of damage to folks when we say, oh, you're not praying right. Hopefully none of you have ever had that said to you, but you may have. If so, I apologize for whoever said that to you. Because there is no right or wrong way to pray. There's as many different ways to pray as there are people. The important thing about prayer is the intention behind it. So you enter into it with a desire, a sincere desire, to connect with the divine. You enter into it with an open heart, with a receptivity, and a readiness. Eric Butterworth uses this great analogy of when you charge a battery, so the battery is empty, and when you plug it in, it's not moving, it's not doing anything, it's open, and it's receptive for the flow of energy coming into it. When we go into prayer, we're very much like that battery. We're open and receptive to divine energy filling us. And so for you, your means of prayer may be meditation, it may be gardening, it may be singing and making music, making beautiful art. There are all different ways in which we can feel that connection with God, not as an outside something, but as an inside force within us. You know, in Unity, we talk about affirmative prayer. That's the name we put on the style of prayer that we like to use. So the difference is affirmative prayer is not about asking for something, asking like we are missing something. It's affirming that we already have everything we need. It's affirming that we have infinite divine potential within us. And so we remember that and we tap into it. That's what the affirmative prayer is really all about. It takes a little getting used to for people who are new in Unity. So I thought I would share with you today. Now again, this is not formulaic. This is not, okay, now you do this, this, this. I'm just sharing with you because people have asked, what sort of is the process for affirmative prayer? So it's a 5-step prayer process. And as you hear this, you're going to think, well, that really does sound a lot like meditation. People have asked me, what's the difference between prayer and meditation? I don't really see there being a whole lot of difference, to be honest. They used to say prayer was talking to God and meditation was listening to God, but I kind of figure it's a two-way process. It's all mixed in there together. And surely when we go to Marcia's beautiful meditation class or when we go to centering prayer that Judy's going to be starting up, we may call it meditation, you may call it prayer, but that feeling of connection and oneness is the same. So here are the steps. The first is that you relax. And you may notice as we go through these, oh yeah, that's kind of what we do in our opening prayer. That's kind of what we do in our meditation. The first is to relax. Sounds easy, right? Relaxing can be a very big deal. Take a deep breath in, let it out. Begin to let go. Begin to let go of whatever it is that's weighing on your mind. The next one is to concentrate. That sounds a little counterintuitive, but I think of it like this. Corralling the herd of cats that are your thinking. Just sort of, let's just kind of group those together. Become aware of what you're thinking, what's preoccupying you, and then very consciously let that go. Just let that go. And focus on the energy of God in you. You may do it through breathing, a mantra, whatever it is. And then you move into meditation. And this is where things are beginning to still. You're beginning to feel a presence. And the thoughts and the worries you brought in are getting smaller and smaller. And then as we go to the very deepest place, we embrace the silence. And you know, the silence is really where the prayer work happens. This is truly where it's just quiet. This is the beautiful energy of God active in us. So we embrace the silence, and then we come out of that silence. We come out of our prayer time, refreshed, rejuvenated, revitalized, ready for whatever life may bring us. And for that, we give thanks. You can say, thank you, God. You can say, thank you, mystery of life. Thank you, me. Thank you. Thank you. You could just say, thank you. No, thank you. There's nothing quite like a grateful heart to go forth into your day. So this process can take a minute, can take an hour, can take an all day, become the way you live so that you are praying without ceasing. It's a 5-step process to help you shift your consciousness, to help you do this consciousness lifting that we talk about so you remember who you truly are. And you know, when we say prayer works, I think prayer works every time because prayer shifts your thinking, it shifts your consciousness. When we look at it as being about lifting your consciousness rather than outside results, we can see that it's always effective. Well, I have one more support for you that I want to offer today in your prayer life, and it's about silent unity. Because some of you know about silent unity and some of you do not. So I'm just going to share this with you because I want you to know that in the middle of the night, in your dark night of the soul, when it seems that there's no one to turn to, there is someone to turn to, aside from those who love you most dearly, and aside from those of us who care about you here. But you can call Silent Unity. They take calls 24/7, night and day. They've been doing that for 125 years. 125 years. About 4,000 calls a day from all over the world. The prayer is free. It's with a live human being, a real person, It's not a recording. They will listen to you, and they will help lift your consciousness. And every time it works like magic. You know, when I lived in Kansas City, I had the great honor and pleasure of working at Silent Unity for several months. And it never ceased to amaze me, that process. No matter how people were when they called in at the end of it, you could feel a shift. Nothing that I did. It was just that energy flow. It was just reminding them of the truth. As we get more and more accustomed to thinking of God in this intrinsic, everywhere present way, and as we more and more pray to lift our consciousness and just to remember the truth of who we are, we find that our prayers make a difference, and they ripple out, and our lives begin to change. And as Eric Butterworth says, the purpose of prayer is not a way to turn on the light in God, but to turn on the light in you. And that light is God. And so we know as we say the prayer for protection every week, we are the light of God, we are the love of God, we are the power of God, we are the presence of God. Wherever we are, God is. And on a level so deep that we can't always comprehend it, all is well. Let's move now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Let this be a time of getting centered and a time of release. Let's take a deep breath in together. Just feel the great peace of God within us, that great divine blessing of being alive. And as we exhale, we just let go of any worries or concerns or random thoughts, anything that's been distracting us. And just as if we were tuning in to the flame of a candle, we tune in to the light of God within us. That beautiful light that is always there. This light emanates warmth and love and peace, clarity, wisdom and guidance. As we connect with the source of our being, we open our hearts to the presence. Simply feeling this beautiful energy, this divine energy activating every cell in our being. We know that we have the pattern of divine perfection within us. Despite any temporary outer appearances of ill health or poor functioning, that innate divine perfection is within us, just waiting to be brought into full expression as we tap into it. We let go of any error thinking, any concerns of lack or not enoughness or not good enoughness, just clearing it away like clearing away cobwebs, clearing it away so that we rest in the peace of God that is in us, in the silence. this moment, we see ourselves as wondrously made. Indeed, we see all of life as a wonder. We feel our hearts filled with gratitude for all that has been, all that is, and all that will be on this beautiful journey of life. Giving thanks for the connection to Source in us that makes all things possible and that guides our way. And for all these blessings, we're so grateful. Our hearts are filled to overflowing. And we say thank you. And so it is.